Because you're
tape recorder. Yeah. It's turned over now. You were telling us about the lady who had a positive pap smear.
Yeah.
Came back to be
notified after what was going on. She came back, and when the nurse went in, she measured my class. She went in. She said, "If it's all right with you, I'd like to have the same doctor who was with me before." Now that was a great thing. So the major told her, "Very nice." I said, "Yes," said you, might. Said, "I think so. I think I can arrange that." So I went in to see her, and she had a different attitude altogether. And she progressed from that point on. So the pap smear was thought to recognize an early lesion. So she went to surgery. And sometime later, I got a note from this lady thanking me for being as kind as I was and apologizing for her own behavior. You know, I just took it in stride and let it go on. So it was one of the good outcomes of a demonstration where hostility on it because of segregation and discrimination was turned out to be good in terms of letting that lady know for one thing that this color is permanent, it doesn't rub off, and that there are other people of my color, and because she had a different nationality and color, the people of this color and this nationality don't have to be cruel, they don't have to go into the cesspool of irresponsible reaction just because somebody else reacts. And one final note as to how another case turned out. I was given the assignment to run the pediatric preschool clinic examination. And there was a young man who was doing his externship in the Army, who was a senior in medical school from the old Illinois, Ohio State, somewhere. But we stayed about 4 miles in the bachelor's officer corps away from this clinic. So we rode together. So there was a little girl at six years old was brought in for her exam, preschool exam. And her mother and lived way up on the Alaskan border of the state. And she came in, she had not been used to seeing people of color. So the little girl looked up and said, out of the clear blue sky, right in the clinic full of people, she said, Mommy, said, "He needs a bath. He needs a bath."
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And so everybody was just froze, because they didn't know what I was going to respond, what my reaction would be. So I said, "No, baby, I just have a suntan." That broke the spell. Everybody kind of relaxed again. And that went on off. And then a little 5-year-old brother was along clutching the mother's skirt tail. Oh, everybody had forgotten the first incident. And he starts saying, Mommy, me want a suntan. And the little girl looked around, and she looked again. She said, "No, Mommy, me don't want no suntan." And we had a big laugh off of it. But my young white intern, extern really, because he was senior in medical school, he said, "I was biting nails because I didn't know how you were going to handle that." I said, "Well, there's no need for me to make a mountain out of what turned out to be a molehill." Because the first thing that my young assistant could see was that I was going to react violently in some way and either walk out or turn the clinic out or say something that would just destroy everything. But he said, I don't know how you came through it. Said, but that suntan answer was the best answer I've ever heard. And so that turned out to be one of the joyous occasions where I think I handled discrimination in a very, very effective manner and in a manner that was what should have been called for. So much for the story of Meharry and Madigan and getting back. Now, where are we going now, Ruth?
Well, the next thing would be how, after your one-year internship,
yeah,
where did you go?
I came, after I finished my one-year internship, I came back on assignment. You remember being in the service for, I was obligated by part of the contract, I would do 2 years of service in the Army. So I was reassigned at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, which was at my request. It was good to make me be coming home. And I had a very uneventful stay at Fort Bragg, working in the clinics and on the services and running the infirmaries and whatnot. And it was real good. And I was... at the near the end, see, I came back to Fort Bragg in July of 52, July 52, and I stayed there until December of 53, and they let me out a few days early with time served and my accumulation of off time and whatnot.
You took care of soldiers during that period.
Yeah, I took care of soldiers and soldiers' families. So yeah, there was some civilian, and we took care of soldiers and their families at Fort Bragg. And as I was coming to the end of my service there, I decided to leave the service to go into private practice. And when I left, I could have applied to do apply for another tour of duty. We call it re-up, but I had no interest in that. So I wanted to get out and hit the ground and where I could serve people. And it was during during December of 53 that I did some surveying various cities after where I might come to start my private practice. And among the sites I considered was Ahoskie, maybe Winton, Greenville, and there was some pressure to bring me, for me to come back to Kinston, my hometown. But I decided that on Greenville, but in the meantime, while I was looking around, is when I was on my way to Ahoskie and Winton to look for a possible place because I had met some people. There's some local citizens that had invited me to come see what we have to offer.
Who were the people? Do you remember the physician in Ahoskie at the time?
The physician in Ahoskie was Dr. Joseph D. Wheeler. And of course, there was nobody in Winton. And a college classmate, George Felton, was in Winton. He was the main person who wanted me to come to that area and to look around. And he mentioned the fact that we knew that Dr. Weaver was in Ahoskie, but there were some other towns around, Murfreesboro and Eatonton and the places that my former roommate, Mr. Felton, was interested in bringing me. So I was just accepted his invitation come down for a weekend to look the situation over. That's a fact-finding situation.
Now, Mr. Felton was your roommate from?
A&T, the College of A&T. We were very close, so he was trying to get me to come and settle in that area. He said, well, at least I said, look around. And as I was, that was on a Saturday morning, I went down 13 and went on, I was passed through Windsor on my way to Hoskins. That's when I saw this car with all four wheels up in the air. It was a highway, and I looked a little closer, it was a highway patrolman. Had an accident. He was pinned in, and as I stopped, there was another car coming from the opposite direction of the young white male stopped. Then people started stopping and gathering around. And we were able to, when we found out what the situation was, that this patrolman, this person was inside, and that he was living, but some blankets and debris and stuff in the car was almost suffocating him. He couldn't move and couldn't get it off his own face. So we broke glass and got in and moved the stuff so he could breathe. Then I found out that he had a fracture of the right femur. And by compound fracture, the bone was broken, but it was sticking through the skin all the way out. See the bone. And the people gathered around and helped us. We pulled him out and we fashioned about, used that blanket and some small shrubs and tree limb to fashion a carry-all to the fire lounge. And I happened to have some units of morphine sulfate in my bag, so I gave him a unit of morphine to ease his pain down. Got the situation stabilized. I had to be very careful in moving that leg to get that bone back inside the flesh so we could get it strapped down. And then somebody had called the ambulance and they came and we got him to take him to the hospital, and he was on the way. And then I got back in my car. Naturally, it had been snow, and there was ice and snow, and all of the banks were muddy. I got my hand muddy and dirty. So I stopped at the service station in the hospital. Walked in, ordered a pack of chewing gum and a Coca-Cola. And then I asked the manager, I said, whether I can wash my hands, And his answer was, no, we don't have anywhere for niggas to wash their hands. And my impulse was to tell him that I got these hands dirty, saving the life of one of you white folk. But I just turned around. He'd already opened the soda. I just turned around, left the soda and the gum right on the counter, and got in my car. I was going to buy some gas, too, but got in my car and went on to Winton. I told my roommate about the experience. He started shaking his head. And I don't know how. Now, I didn't give my name to anybody or whatnot. But, 2 weeks later, I got a letter from the commander of the Highway Patrol from Raleigh thanking me for being the Good Samaritan to stop and give one of his patrolmen first aid or whatnot, et cetera, et cetera. But that experience of segregation and discrimination, to me, it was just mind-boggling to think that in America, and I had been through the war, fighting for this country, had been wounded twice, fighting for this country, and then to come home and can't even wash my hand, the hand that got dirty. But that's mind-boggling.
Somebody's life.
Mind-boggling.
Well, Dr. Best, thank you for sharing the stories with us today. It's been an hour.
Okay.
Should we let your vocal cords rest?
Well, I think so, and maybe we might go a little bit longer as time permits.
We'll take up again on the 17th.
You're quite welcome.